WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This airplane just crashed at 23. 7105, full of ground.
Air traffic controllers in Toronto watching as a Delta jet from Minneapolis flipped upside down as it landed at Pearson International Airport in snowy, windy conditions. All 80 people on board, all wearing seatbelts, got out. 18 were injured. The cause? Under investigation. CBS's Chris Mavridis is in Toronto.
The CJR 900 is a Canadian-made regional workhorse. It's used by a lot of airlines, including Delta and American. In fact, it's the slightly longer version of the CJR 700 that crashed in Washington, D.C. last month. But authorities are being very clear this is just an unfortunate coincidence. And even though it's early, they don't believe there is any connection between the two crashes.
Brutally cold weather is settling in from the Plain States to the south central U.S. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
Extreme cold warnings now stretch from the Canadian border in North Dakota all the way down to central Texas. There's 30 million people under extreme cold warnings.
Feels like 50 below in parts of Montana and North Dakota. Secretary of State Marco Rubio's begun meetings with top Russian officials in Saudi Arabia to try to reset relations between the two countries and end the war in Ukraine, which has not been invited to participate. The BBC's Tom Bateman is in Riyadh.
What Moscow is trying to do here is show to its own audience that this is the beginning of the end of Moscow's isolation, which, of course, was led by Washington, has seen the West slap sanctions for 3 years on Russia after its full-scale invasion of Ukraine.
Protests in the nation's capital over cuts by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Max Steyer heads the Partnership for Public Service.
You're talking about not just the FAA and the IRS, but I know of at least one specific example of a VA doctor who's been fired, nurses at the VA. I mean, it's across the board.
Southwest Airlines is cutting costs, slashing 15% of its corporate workforce. They are the first major layoffs in the company's 53-year history. Local schools are closed. SEPTA commuter train service suspended after a massive fire broke out at a warehouse in Abington, Pennsylvania that supplies aerospace fasteners and fittings. KYW's Tim Jimenez is at the scene.
We see this thick white smoke pouring out. This is a massive complex, 560,000 square feet. Witnesses reported seeing this big explosion in the building, and then flames started to spread.
Officials say everyone inside the complex has been accounted for. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the Badgers in Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Tonight at the Kohl's Center, it's Wisconsin against the Fighting Illini. Now, the last time these two teams met, Illinois won 86-80. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation. Head basketball coach Greg Gard on tonight's game.
Yeah, I think we're better on both ends of the floor. But obviously a really good team, a lot of talent. You know, when they're playing well, they're really, really good. So it's going to be a challenge for us and a good measuring stick to see where we have come from early December.
Number 16th ranked Marquette at home tonight in Milwaukee against Seton Hall. Baseball in Arizona. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked about 22-year-old Jefferson Cairo coming back from surgery, and Murph is excited about the young catcher's future.
He's the right kid. He's got the right makeup, the right approach to the game. But coached well, parented well, because that dude's special. Just mark it down. When I'm around a great one, and I can smell it. He smells like he's going to be a great one.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The British Oscars, also known as the BAFTAs, which stands for British Academy of TV and Film Awards, aired Sunday night, and the show's award winners will only keep people guessing who will take home Oscars as we get closer to the Academy Awards. Conclave took home Best Picture, which surprised critics as it hadn't really won much on other award shows. Variety reports that Conclave beat out The Brutalist and Anora, which had recently been gaining momentum after winning the Critics' Choice Awards, Directors Guild, and Producers Guild Awards. Members of the Hollywood Press say this this will give Conclave momentum heading up to the Oscars on March 2nd, as there is quite a bit of crossover between BAFTA and Oscar voters. Taking home the Best Actor at the BAFTAs was Adrian Brody for his performance in The Brutalist, Mikey Madison won Best Actress for Anora, and in the Best Supporting categories, it was Zoe Saldana winning for her performance in Amelia Perez, and Kieran Culkin surprising people by winning for his performance in A Real Pain. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Keeping it cold today with plenty of sunshine, highs near 9 above. Wind chill values between 15 below and 25 below. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows near zero, wind chills down to 15 below. A little milder on Wednesday with a high near 15. Right now, 13 below.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers will be here for a little Tuesday Tangents with Luke, and we'll preview Governor Evers' budget address. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06. Nice to have you along on this Tuesday morning, February 18th, 2025. Coming up, we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer from Lincoln County, about the ways that some Wisconsin farm families are finding out the hard way that the cutting of so-called wasteful spending includes farm income that they were counting on, in part because of contracts they made with the government that apparently Elon Musk and Donald Trump think you can just easily break and stiff a whole bunch of Wisconsin farm families. So we will be talking about that coming up in just a little bit. We'll also talk to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau as well. Temperatures this morning are just dangerous. It is 16 below here in Chippewa Falls right now. Hayward is at 26 below zero. Amory, 18 below. Wausau, minus 14. Wisconsin Rapids is at 21 below right now. That's the air temperature. La Crosse is 18 below. Green Bay, 11 below. Madison's at minus 12. Milwaukee is at 7 below. And at Racine's Radio Park, where Greg is, it's 8 degrees below zero right now. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us to tell us much more about the cold weather. Right after I tell her that in Tigerton, according to Rob, it's clear and 12 below. The wind chill is 28 degrees below zero. It is very cold. Bundle up, dress in layers. He notes that the snow, the recent snow had been a blessing, preventing his pipes from freezing. A good snow cover can really help in this extreme cold weather. He says that he will be voting today at the Germania Town Hall. He never misses an election. Good job, Rob. Today's polls have just opened across Wisconsin. Polls are open until 8 o'clock tonight in today's primary. And finally, he says to my Civic Media friends, I want to say cheers to you all for National Wine Drinking Day. So there you go. Yeah, so cheers to you, Brittany, if you're assuming your wine hasn't frozen by now. So.
Seriously. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's a funny story. I actually have a wine bottle I use as a snow measurer. So I actually have.
Sure. Sure.
All of that measure. I swear. It's great. It's
wink.
Great. And then it tells you, depending on how many inches of snow you get, how many glasses of wine that you can have from that bottle. It's pretty cool.
I was going to say, you got to post a picture of that.
Just find any reason to drink in the state.
And then, yeah, we'll find. We'll post some opportunities for, you know, meetings that we could attend together because that's the weather will do that to us sometimes.
I was going to say, what a better way on National Wine Day than to spend it with a wonderful Merlot.
Yeah.
Oh, see, now this is why this should be the box show. You come
no,
up with this stuff.
No, knock it off. All right. Just stop with that talk.
I'm taken aback by this guy sometimes, Brittany.
This guy just did like a almost 10 minutes straight like dissertation on corruption in politics, and I make one pun, and he's like, it should be your show.
Well, if I could just sit back and, yeah, enjoy some wine while I listen, I would totally do that. Oh, wait, that's what I did all last week. Anyway, back to the cold weather, Brittany. How much longer for this?
Oh, gosh. Well, we've still got today. It's still going to be chilly tomorrow, and then we're finally going to be feeling non-below zero wind chills as soon as we get to Thursday. So what's happening right now is across the state, especially in the Fox Valley and along the lake shore, your wind chills are worse than in the middle of the state. You're actually feeling about 33 below zero into Waukesha, 31 below into Appleton. So those wind chills still a big factor here today. Winds are moving at about 5 to 10 miles per hour, but they will pick up this late morning into the afternoon, gusting around 15. That's just too much when it's this darn cold. Highs today are only going to be climbing to the single digits all across the state. Once again tonight, we fall back below zero to about 5 to 10 below. So not as severe as tonight, but still cold. So, of course, we're going to see those cold weather advisories going out once again overnight tonight into tomorrow morning. Then I think we're going to start to feel a little bit better. Tomorrow's temperatures will be in the double digits, about 10 to 15 degrees across the entire state. The winds start to ease. Plenty of sunshine both today and tomorrow. And then by Thursday, we will climb into those low 20s. Now, the good thing with this weather pattern is there's no snow in the forecast. Maybe a few flurries could be flying around late Wednesday night. But otherwise, it's dry, it's sunny, and cold. So layers, like Rob had said, that's the key word. And just pay attention to your fingers, your toes, your ears, your nose. You can get frostbite within minutes out there this morning.
Okay. And just Rob adds a little addendum on YouTube. Watch out for blowing and drifting, especially on county and town roads. That could be a factor as well. And here's our new favorite listener, Tiffany in River Falls, writes in on the text line. Hello from my new commute between Wisconsin and a southwest Twin City suburb. I look forward to listening to Pat and Greg live during my commute instead of catching the replays. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much, Tiffany.
I think Tiffany wanted us to feel better after the guy in the last block, but hey, you guys really are as stupid as you seem. Like, okay.
Well, hey, when someone with a red hat calls me stupid, I'm like, compliment. Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll take it. Brittany, thank you for a big warm up coming next week.
Yes, we will. As soon as Sunday and into Monday, we're looking at some 40s. So hang in there.
Holy cow. That also doesn't seem right. You know what I mean?
No, it's not.
We can't just be level.
That was your lovely way of saying the world's on fire, but who cares?
It's all right. It's all right. It's fine. Deal with it. Yeah. Everything is fine. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you, Brittany.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Let's see. It says here, what is this? Tom in Jackson, is Brittany paid by the feds? Tom, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Paid by the feds.
I don't know. The Up North News Daily Newsletter. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Get our unabashedly Wisconsin news. Christina Laurie puts it together. And an interesting set of stories in today's newsletter. One is an article about the 12 best books set in Wisconsin. I got the first one right, which was, you know, Little House on the Prairie and Laurel Ingalls Wilder. And the next 11 clearly need to go on my reading list. So you can learn more about that in today's newsletter. But also a note about it. You know, this is, breast cancer awareness time. And there's an article about mammograms. And it's one thing for insurance to cover the mammograms used for screening for breast cancer. That was part of the Affordable Care Act. Every insurance company, every insurance plan has to cover an annual screening mammogram. That makes sense. But a lot of women, when the test isn't necessarily definitive, they need a different kind of mammogram called a diagnostic mammogram. And that's not covered by the Affordable Care Act, but some states do require health insurance companies in their state to also cover diagnostic mammograms, because if they're not part of your health insurance that you're paying for, but you have to pay out of pocket, you may delay getting that diagnostic mammogram, which gives time for the cancer to spread. So in a lot of states, they now require insurance companies to cover the cost of the diagnostic mammogram. But guess what? Wisconsin, like in so many other things healthcare related, with Republican majorities in the legislature for over a decade now, Wisconsin is part of the minority of states that does not require insurance coverage of diagnostic mammograms. So that might be something that we could hear about from Governor Tony Evers in his budget address tonight. Certainly a lot of specifics will come from the governor on things that he thinks should be covered in healthcare, in education, in protecting our environment, especially our clean water, and much more. So again, the governor's budget address before the joint session of the legislature is tonight. We will be talking about it at length tomorrow morning. We will have a couple of state lawmakers with us to discuss their reaction to the budget address and their reaction to the Republican response to it, where we can once again expect to hear a lot of talk about obstruction, a lot of lashing out at the governor for, you know, big government and big spending and things like that. But as you just heard in that one example, there are areas in a budget where it's the old ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So we'll hear what the governor had to say tonight, and then we will be talking much more about it tomorrow. And of course, we'll be covering everything about the budget in our newsletters. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, not just for the daily newsletter, but we have a new weekend politics-only newsletter that I've started to put together. It comes out on Sunday mornings, so consider it your new Sunday paper supplement for getting you set for the week ahead in Wisconsin political news. Again, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. When we talk to Hans Breitenmoser coming up in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about the ways that Elon Musk has been cutting funding for, or at least attempting to cut funding for, a host of programs. And it was noted in the comments section at some point, and I want to bring it up here on screen for folks watching on Facebook and YouTube. A commenter named Billy says, "They have paused spending to review legitimacy of allocated funds. This article is spreading misinformation." No, Billy, actually not. And it's not actually a pause. Again, you can call things whatever you want to call them, but there isn't the authority to pause and review. We have a process for that. It's called Congress. It's called the regular legislative process, the system of checks and balances, where a budget is passed, executive agencies are authorized to spend so much money on certain things. The experts go to work on that, especially through a process of dedicated civil servants who pledge their loyalty to the country, to the Constitution, not to a political party or to a president. But that's changing now under Trump and Musk, where they don't want the experts, they don't want people who are going to speak truth to power. They want a bunch of yes men in there, and they want the power to decide single-handedly who gets money and who doesn't. So it's not like they're going to pause, review things, and then things are going to be operating pretty much as they were. It's that they're going to restart spending for the things they like and agree with and hold back the funds for the things that they don't, making up some kind of an excuse or another. And as has been noted by others, including one Greg Bach, you would think that if they're really looking for, you know, all of this fraud, there would be things like lawsuits. And we've got a commenter on YouTube who says they never answer, where are the lawsuits by the Justice Department? Because if there is this actual fraud that we're talking about, Pam Bondi is the new attorney general. I'm sure that if Donald Trump said, sue these folks for fraudulent use of funds, should be all over that. And from the Department of Justice, we're hearing crickets, because that was never the intention. We'll have more coming up on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Governor Tony Evers is set to share his budget address to the state on Tuesday, February 18th at 7 p.m. You can count on the Civic Media team to have it covered for you here, live.
And when the polls close, you'll also hear your primary election results from the races important to you and your family.
Live coverage of the elections in your area and the budget address Tuesday, February 18th at 7 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In September 2024, Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes announced an error in state voter rolls involving 97,000 voters, revolving around a state DMV data error. The number has risen to nearly 200,000, and an easy fix still hasn't been found. In 1996, Arizona began requiring proof of citizenship when obtaining a driver's license. Since 2005, election officials have asked registered voters with licenses issued before 1996 for proof of citizenship. But if a driver's license issued before 1996 needed to be replaced, it was accidentally given a new date of issue, and election officials never knew to ask for citizenship documents. Vote Beat Arizona and the Arizona Mirror report that the investigation is ongoing, but that the number affected has now ballooned to 200,000 voters. The Arizona Supreme Court allowed affected voters to vote in November's election, but now the legislature is considering an emergency measure, House Bill 2038, directing election officials to contact the voters and request citizenship documents. If not supplied within 35 days, the voter's status would change to not registered, though voters could reactivate their registration by providing documentation right up to Election Day. After the 2026 general election, those voters would be dropped. We have text of the bill and Vote Beat's reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Got an 80s theme going here again. Oh, God, I love Moonlighting.
That was a great show.
Oh, Cybill Shepherd is 75 years old today. Happy birthday to her. She and Bruce Willis were just magic. The theme song there from Milwaukee's own Al Jarreau, who I did not realize till I looked up during the break here. There is a website called the Encyclopedia of Milwaukee.
Oh.
And there's an entire site dedicated to Al Jarreau, the acrobat of scat, born in 1940 to a musical family in Milwaukee, passed away back in 2017. But whenever you heard his silky voice there on, I want to say Thursday nights, but it might have been Wednesday nights. But oh my gosh, just, such a good show.
This song is like so 80s.
Yes.
So 80s. It comes with its own like set of smoky glasses and it's just in a pair of parachute pants. I love this song so, and I loved it. And I was a kid. Like that show was on in like the late
80s. But the dialogue was very much in that slapstick comedy, not so much the physical but the banter.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
Yep.
The banter was, I don't know that there was banter like that was so fast and witty. Really until like the West Wing and all the Aaron Sorkin stuff came along after that. And I say that having no idea who actually wrote, who did most of the writing for Moonlighting. But it's in that same vein. And I absolutely love that.
I just don't want them to ever redo this show.
Oh, no, please don't. No. Don't restart things that are classic. If you like something, keep it going for like 50 years, like Saturday Night Live. You like that transition?
Oh.
Yeah, no, it was very clunky, but I'm gonna take it anyway.
I did watch it yesterday, by the
did,
way.
Yeah. Did you? Okay, because I see the ratings are out, and it was NBC's most watched primetime entertainment telecast in 5 years.
Wow.
Reaching nearly 15 million viewers.
Holy monkeys.
That's the most since the 2020 Golden Globes, where the audience was kind of much more shut in. Only the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade brings in bigger viewerships in recent years. But and I did want to confirm something I said yesterday. Yes, that was Meryl Streep's first appearance in a Saturday Night Live sketch. And you finally got to watch all this last night?
I did. I was wondering, like, Meryl Streep, are you reading cue cards? Did you try to memorize your lines, or did you just say, I'm just going to try? Because she was definitely not
She does not normally read cue cards. No, being a movie actress, and yeah. I'm, I'm quite certain that because you'd watch her eyes every so often and she's trying to keep up.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just goes to show, again, there's different kinds of entertainment, that sketch comedy is not the same as, you know, acting off a script.
Yeah.
Just like improv is not the same as a stand up routine. And it's always a little fun to watch the misadventure of somebody changing into a different lane.
There was a lot of fun stuff. I liked the format of the show. I will say Black Jeopardy kind of lost me at the end. Like, they didn't need to put Tom Hanks in there. They just could have kept Eddie Murphy.
You had Eddie Murphy doing Tracy Morgan right next to Tracy Morgan. That was gold.
Yeah, the change to Tom Hanks was very weird, and then it just became that didn't end up being as fun as the original version, which is one of the best sketches they've ever done.
Yes.
But yeah, it was a good time. Adam Sandler's song was amazing. Weekend Update was very, very fun. I enjoyed it.
I think that, and they could have done even more with Weekend Update. It was fine. Yeah. I don't have any quibble with it, but if they'd wanted to do more with Tina and Amy, and if they wanted a few other folks to come in, I know, you know, Colin Quinn was noticeably absent there.
No Colin Quinn, no Kevin Nealon.
No Dan Aykroyd.
No Danny Aykroyd, no Bill Hader.
No Dana Carvey, even though he's been in some other recent shows.
Yeah, right. I expected him to be in like at least two sketches. But I will say this. Between the concert at Radio City Music Hall and the 50th they did on Sunday, Anna Gasteyer wins for like just the immovable object. She every time she was on stage, and she was on stage a lot, she knocked it out of the park every single time.
There were definitely players that came back where you go, why did you leave? You still got it.
Yeah.
You're so good at this. And others, I mean, obviously we all have phases in our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't quite hit all the marks with the same kind of timing, because doing a show like that, again, one of my favorite bits was the one about everybody who's done SNL has anxiety.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a great digital short.
Yes.
All about how everybody who does that show feels like they're going to throw up all the time.
Yeah.
Because it is one of the ultimate tightrope acts,
yep,
you know, in show business.
I was also surprised there was no Conan.
He was in the audience. I did see him there.
Oh, that's so weird that he wasn't on stage at all for anything.
Yeah, he was there not too far away from David Letterman, who was there, got called out by Steve Martin. It was a little weird for Steve. Steve Martin said, how old did he say he was now?
79. 79
years old. And it was a great Weekend Update joke when they're talking about there's now a four-part epidemic going on out there with, you know, COVID and RSV and, you know, a couple of other things. So why not take all of these aging legends and put them all in one room?
Quademic. Yeah, that's right. And then like there were just sometimes you're like, oh, you don't really want to be on stage right now. You don't really want to be in the sketch, right? Bill Murray on Weekend Update was very weird. He's just, I think he just, I'm fine with him. You're good.
Yeah.
You're fine.
He is what he is, and always has been, and rightly blamed. You know, maybe some of the substances that he took back in the day to deal with the above mentioned anxiety.
Yeah,
it could be. There was, I mean, it got off to an awkward start there with Paul Simon and Sabrina Carpenter, and I think that was maybe a little bit of butterflies in both their cases. I mean, you're in front of all these people. You're kicking off and my initial thought was like, oh no, is this what the whole show is going to be like? And it really picked up after that. And you could tell both of them wanted to do it. I think they both wish they could have rehearsed it a bit more.
Yeah.
But she still had the best line where he talks about performing the song in 1978, and she says, "I wasn't born, and neither were my parents."
I know. I was like, ow, lady, that one hurt a little bit.
I right away had to do the math, figuring if her parents were born like the next, I'm like, could that really be? It's like, yeah, if her parents were born the next year, if they had a kid at 23 and that kid were now 23, you know, the math would work out. And I'm like, okay, well, thanks. That's not helping me feel better at all. But still, overall, just a very enjoyable thing. And now, after what feels like 50 years of buildup, we don't have to hear about 50 years of Saturday Night Live anymore.
Can't wait for the 60th, baby!
Or whatever else. What other show is next in terms of being on for anything close to that?
I think the Today Show is the only show that's been on longer. Meet the Press, those two shows. But they never have done like a big celebration. Nope. No, I mean,
all right. Well,
you got shows like Law and Order and NCIS, but
we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser about that more next.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
7 o'clock tonight, the governor will be presenting his 2025 through 2027 executive budget, and there's plenty for Wisconsin farmers and agribusinesses to note. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. The governor earmarking somewhere in the neighborhood of $80 million investments for Wisconsin farmers as well as food processors, and also the environment. The governor says that he's proud of some of the conservation efforts that farmers have spearheaded, and he wants to make sure that that continues.
This plan also holds harmless, innocent landowners like farmers who unknowingly spread biosolids that contain PFAS on their land and invest $7 million to help clean up biosolids contamination. I'm also excited to be announcing another $1 million through our producer-led watershed protection grant program to 49 farmer-led groups and three new groups receiving awards in this round of funding. I've had the opportunity to visit many of them over the last 5 years, and I'm just amazed at the work that they're doing.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, among some of the other programs the governor intends to continue, includes more money for farmer mental health programs, as well as additional funding for the Something Special from Wisconsin program.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and STS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for Heads Up Seed Treatment.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And today, Wisconsinites will vote on a state superintendent of public instruction. Three names are on the ballot. Yesterday, despite the cold weather, more than 200 Wisconsin FFA members made the trek to the state capitol with the task of advocating for agriculture education, specifically $60 million in the state budget that helps to support career and technical education, or CTEs. Some of the agriculture educators that were at the state capitol said by receiving that funding, it would allow chapters to remove barriers to paying dues or attending class trips. Again, that state primary today. I'm Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Keeping it cold today with plenty of sunshine, highs near 9 above. Wind chill values between 15 below and 25 below. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows near 0, wind chills down to 15 below. A little milder on Wednesday with a high near 15. Right now, 13 below.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Salvia.
Next time on Overtime with Maggie Dunn, do we really need to know what's going on with avian flu? Also, should pardons of the January 6th rioters apply to murder plots and child porn charges? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
See the pyramids along the Nile. Watch the sunrise.
All right, here's a little extended version of today's history lesson. We mentioned at 6:50 that Pee Wee King, the Wisconsin native who co-wrote Tennessee Waltz, was born on this day. He was also the co-writer of a song called You Belong to Me, which was made famous by singer Joe Stafford back in 1952. But Pee Wee King is also credited with bringing the Musicians Union to the Grand Ole Opry. He was one of the first musicians in Nashville to carry a union card and to have his members in his band work in a union. So we salute Pee Wee King, who was born this day in 1914 in Abrams, Wisconsin. He was born Julius Kaczynski, and he passed away in 2000 at the age of 86. So a little extra history as we bring in Hans Breitmoser as well. To note, there's one other history note I didn't have time to get. It was on this day in 1930 that a cow named Elm Farm Ollie became the first cow to fly in an airplane and the first cow to be milked in an airplane as part of an aircraft exposition in St. Louis. And so she was rather famous for a time, starting this day in 1930. I am sure, Hans, you were very well aware of that, knowing your dairy farm history the way that you do.
No. I'm glad you enlightened me. I didn't. That's fascinating.
Yeah. You never know what you're going to find when you're looking up these history things. So there we go. A couple of notes here. Do you have a little thermometer outside the milk house there outside of Merrill?
It is colder than Elon Musk's heart this morning.
Oh, there we go. Yes, it is. It is so bad out there. But it does. It's one of those days again, and we're getting, I think, fewer and fewer people that can say this, that can say, well, there was that time when it was too cold for the machinery to run and you're milking by hand, you know, in weather this cold. You're not seeing nearly as much of that as you used to.
Well, yeah, there's a few too many cows to try and milk them all by hand, but it does. Yeah. It definitely creates problems. We've got problems with, you know, manure systems and ironically, milk cooling is an issue when it gets this cold. But we got everything running here again this morning, so we're gonna muscle through for another 24 hours or so, and then it looks like it's gonna get a little bit better.
Yeah, here's hoping. Although it is not gonna get better in other ways for farmers who are now learning just what it means when Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans say, you know, we're gonna cut waste. The waste they're talking about would be Wisconsin dairy farmers. We've got a video report up on our site from Selena Heller, who talked to Aaron Pape, who is a farmer in Peshtigo, and says he's looking at a $30,000 loss after Trump reneged on contracts signed by farmers across the country. These are conservation contracts, Selena writes, between the USDA and farms that committed to practices that preserve the future of the environment. They are now on hold. Meanwhile, the money has already been spent, leaving many family farms in limbo. Pape says they're just trying to do good things while taking care of the environment. And it's how I introduced things earlier in the show, Hans, by saying it's very easy to criticize federal spending when you don't know exactly the good that spending does. And I thought that'd be how I kick it off with you in terms of, you know, yes, it's easy to make fun of something like, oh, the government's paying farmers not to farm on their land. Well, Hans, that's for a real good reason.
Well, absolutely, Pat. And you know, you alluded to it earlier. You've got a couple of billionaires making all these decisions on things that they simply know nothing about. And the idea that this money is just being handed out willy-nilly with no thought, I mean, there's a process that goes into it. And there should be a process if we decide that as a society we no longer want the benefits that come with these cost-share agreements, then that's fine. But we need to get there in a you know, by means of good old-fashioned democracy and not just the whims of a couple of billionaires who simply don't have a clue about how these programs work. And I think the other important thing that people need to understand is that not only this puts, you know, those farmers in a bad spot financially and otherwise, but think of the lenders, you know, because typically how these programs work is if you get cost sharing for, let's say, you know, some conservation practice or something that costs some money, then typically how that works is you go and spend money first and you get reimbursed for those funds. So you may go to a commercial bank. The commercial bank understands that you're good for the loan because you're getting backed up by these dollars, and everybody's happy and everybody's made whole at the end of the day. Think of how many bankers are out there right now scrambling. And also lenders looking at new loans with a great big question mark going, I don't know. I don't think we want to take that kind of risk. So now these things get halted before they can even begin. And it puts just a lot of pressure on these banks that are serving rural America as well. And the loan officers that are doing the work out there, because they don't know what's, you know, going to happen tomorrow. It's the unpredictability of it that makes their lives miserable as well.
So what you're telling me is this is literally undermining that line about how our banking system is backed by, quote, the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. That if you can't have faith in the credit of the U.S. government, that when they make a commitment, when they sign a contract to carry through with it, and some rich guys can come in and willy-nilly rip those contracts up, I mean, that hurts more than just this one family farmer in Peshtigo. It hurts, frankly, the entire banking system.
Absolutely, it hurts the entire banking system. It hurts ag writ large. It hurts rural areas. It hurts so many things because, and again, you know, you just connect these dots. You follow that back and say, here's the reason why we had the system that we had, so that it is stable, so that it is reliable, so that people who are any way involved in that system have an understanding of how things are going to play out, because historically it hasn't been just the whims of a couple rich guys who are so beyond clueless about how things work in rural America. I'm going to go sideways here, Pat, if you'll indulge me a little bit.
Sure.
And because I feel like all these things are connected. So last night I was at a 4-H Leaders Association meeting, and you know, we're doing the usual things. There's young people, there's adults in the room. We're talking about spring trips and all the things that 4-H offers and so forth. It's a bunch of parents and some young people involved in the governance of our local 4-H, and so we're going through the thing, and at one point it. You know, politics always kind of jumps into my little brain. And I sat there looking at all these good people thinking about how to make their community better and how to make the lives of their children better, and counting paper clips because the budget is you know, as little as can be. And, you know, wondering where this money's going to come from and how can we make that program better and so forth. And it occurred to me that right now, the people who are running the country have never, ever once sat in a meeting like that. They have no clue. Now, I know that's a little bit different than the topic that we're talking about, but my point here is that if you've got a couple billionaires who are allowed to do everything with no checks and balances, what kind of public policy do you think you're going to get when you have people that are so far removed from our reality?
Well, and look at how they're removed from the reality of the people around the world who are in dire need of food and medicine that we're able to supply, and the good that we do for global stability as a result. We've been hearing all about the halting of the USAID offices, the Aid for International Development, and that includes a whole lot of food purchases that would help, you know, hungry people around the planet. But that also means now that a whole lot of dried red kidney beans, a whole bunch of dried cranberries, a whole bunch of dehydrated potatoes, all of these things grown in Wisconsin are not going to be purchased. And so you literally are going to have already harvested crops and food products rotting, not to mention the financial insecurity of whether to plant these things or not this year.
Yeah, it affects everything. It affects the production. It affects the consumption. It affects the transportation. It affects the financing. It literally affects everything. And that's why we've had the system that we've had all these years of checks and balances and of, you know, reasonable thought processes that go into things, rather than just saying, yeah, these two guys are pretty smart. Let's just let them make all sorts of decisions left and right that impact so many people in so many ways. I mean, we're talking about real human lives here. You know, I think there's, you know, there's something to, it's concerning for me as a rural person and as a farmer that these programs are going to have negative impacts on people. But, you know, you start talking about that USAID, we're talking about life or death for a lot of people.
Yeah, we truly are. And then one last area I'd cover as well when it comes to uncertainty is crop insurance and disaster relief. When you look at how from Trump on down, the way that they have politicized disaster relief for the California wildfires. Now, imagine that in two different states, crops are damaged either by flooding or by drought, and that one state their farmers would get aid, and another one the state wouldn't, based on the partisan whims of a president or a Congress. And you can see where this is simply a recipe for madness, and why it sounds to me like it's just going to drive more farmers off the farm.
Oh, absolutely. It's not going to be good for family farms. But again, I don't think that these folks care. I mean, again, you're talking multi-billionaire Elon Musk. Do you really think he's concerned about who owns the farmland? I mean, he's absolutely positioned to gobble up as much of it as he wants, you know, if he decides that that's a good investment. So, yeah, this is not how democracy is supposed to work.
No.
And clearly it doesn't work well. I mean, that's the point here, right? It doesn't work well if the measure by which things are working or not is doing the most good for the most people most of the time, then I think, boy, we've got it in reverse here right now.
This is a very awkward transition to make, because now we're talking about the next generation of farmers and people working in ancillary fields, but this is National FFA Week. And we have no choice in this instance but to try to be a little bit optimistic here and to say that once we get through whatever this ordeal is, we're still going to have people, young people, who choose to go into farming and agriculture overall. So talk to me a bit about the value of FFA in Wisconsin.
Oh, my gosh. I think the value of FFA in Wisconsin and across the nation is huge. I was in FFA when I was a kid. Talking about leadership skills and so forth, it ranks right up there. I mean, 4-H and FFA, the impact that they have on our rural areas is really tough to match. And without it, you don't know. It's uncertain again what the future is going to be. So absolutely, you know, FFA has done so much, and I think a lot of people don't understand either that it's. You know, that FFA is cranking out all sorts of kids going into all sorts of positions. But one of the things that I think is important that FFA really trains young people about is civics and how democracy works. I mean, just Robert's rules and having a meeting and why it's important to, why the democratic process is important. And by God, we need to teach our kids that now more than ever.
Oh boy, do we ever! And also, now let's talk about ag education. You know, there the couple of hundred ag educators throughout the state. For folks that think, oh, farming, you know, it's just your parents tell you what to do and you just do it. No, it's always farm education itself is always evolving to make things more efficient, but also to make things safer on the farm as well. So, I mean, there's just so much good that is done by what was known as Future Farmers of America and ag education. And again, we've got the governor's budget address tonight where we will hear what his plans are for the rest of rural Wisconsin. And then we'll talk in a couple of weeks about what the governor proposed and what else is happening between now and then. But Hans, thanks for filling us in on, you know, the misadventures of Musk, at least to this point, for rural Wisconsin. Chin up as best we can, and we'll talk in a couple of weeks here.
Sounds good. Thanks, Pat.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Hans, for all you do for us. It is coming up on 7:49, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCL Radio, where already, from Roger and Stevens Point, there is a Facebook question for Chad about sports. So we'll be hitting him up with that and finding out what else he's talking about on his show, which follows this one. Again, on WXCO in Wausau, or you can listen through the Civic Media app. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
540 WAUK with This Week in Waukesha, now a weekly podcast.
Hi, this is Downtown Donnie Brown. On This Week in Waukesha, we're acting locally, thinking globally with school board member Thomas Harland and his upcoming campaign for election to a full term. Join us as we discuss the big issues facing our city's school district and so much more. You can catch us on civicmedia.us/shows.
This Week in Waukesha, now a weekly podcast from 540 WAUK.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
That would be some of the tunage that you'll be hearing in total in about 15, 20 minutes or so. And Chad Holmes will be along on his fine show on WXCO in Wausau. And he joins us now, as he does every Tuesday, where, again, we play the game. How's he feeling? How's he sounding? Chad Holmes, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Hey, Rome.
He sounds good.
Yes, he does. He's almost there. Almost there. Or as Tony refers to him on YouTube, Mr. Wassum.
There's nothing there. I love that. Just silenced him.
We'll give you this instead from Tony. Tony puts, I hear Chad might need a company car. Yes, Mr. Holmes did have a post. I don't know that you could even know how many miles you've put on over the years covering sports for WXCO, but you reached a milestone, not the kind you want to reach.
No, Saturday night, went to Green Bay, did a hockey game, coming home. And the thing about it is, it's about timing.
Yes.
And I always take a certain route back after a game. I've been there a number of times. But I looked at my phone and said, well, this route would be 2 minutes shorter. So I get to the stop sign, and I'm about to turn left, which I always do. Then at the last moment, I turn right. So I went to the other way.
Uh-huh.
And I paid for it because ultimately a little outside of Shawano, two deer just fly right in front of me. I mean, just right in front of me. And I tried to adjust, but it was really nothing I could do. It was more of a glancing blow on the right hand side of the vehicle. So yeah, it was not as bad as it could have been.
It didn't look good.
No, it was not good. But it could have been worse. I mean, you hear stories. I mean, if you hit them straight on, they can fly right into your windshield.
Yeah,
yes. Actually, I tried to get in, but with the holiday yesterday, so after the show today, I mean, I can still drive it, actually, which is a nice thing.
Oh, okay.
But after the show today, I'm taking it in, and we'll find out what the total damage is on it. But fortunately, my insurance company says, yeah, it looks like.
Oh, I mean, this is old hat to them. So, yeah.
But I didn't do anything, you know, where they would look to weasel out of it, at least,
and,
you know.
No, not you can't, not with deer in Wisconsin. Which, by the way, Tony writes, what a great example of why you shouldn't try new things.
Yeah.
Stay in your comfort zone. Don't listen to technology. Look, if you want to save government money, we came up with this idea a long, long time ago. It's not a ton of money, but you could save a lot of money. Get rid of all the deer crossing signs and put them at the border. Just one at the border that says deer crossing next 350 miles. Because every place, every place could be a deer crossing zone, you know?
Over the last few years, I've noticed more roadkill than I've ever. Especially when I go out west towards your part of the world, Pat, when I drive that way. I tell you, it has been just crazy.
We do. Roger from Stevens Point, question for Chad. I noticed Wausau East girls basketball had several cancellations on their schedule. They would be 7 games short of a full season. They aren't playing the better teams in the Wisconsin. Is that the Wisconsin Valley Conference?
Yes.
Including this Thursday against Stevens Point. Are they low in player numbers, he writes?
Yes, they are. In fact, even before the season started, there was some rumblings that they would not be able to play a varsity season, and in certain games it's been very overwhelming in terms of the scores, and I have noticed that as well, that a few of the games against the top teams in the conference they have not played. To be honest with you, I find it a little disturbing, because I think there should be a way that those games should still be played. I think that both for the team that is struggling, like East, and the teams that may be like Stevens Point, and I saw that I believe it was Marshfield, they didn't play as well. The opponents should be able to understand the situation as well, that we're able to get these games in, at least get the girls the opportunities, and not have a game that's 112-3 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I know what the reasons are, but
I don't want to go down too deep a rabbit hole here, so you don't have to go anywhere with this. You don't want to go, but to me, the question is always how much of it is declining enrollment within a particular school district versus the ability to, and again, my words, nobody else's, kind of sort of recruit, you know, across school district boundaries. And I'm not saying that's happening here. But when you see things like this, it makes you wonder about disparities among school districts that aren't that far apart, but sure seem to have a lot of people using the open enrollment program one way or the other. And maybe, again, maybe I'm just being all conspiracy theorist, and if so, I will plead guilty to that.
I don't think it's in this case, knowing what I know about it. I'm not saying that's never a factor, but not in this case.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you for keeping me on the straight and narrow on this. From the mailbag here from Cameron Falk about our last segment, false info. Good job, liberal news. To which Deborah responds, "Hey, Cameron Falk, freedom of speech is wasted on these dorks." Which I appreciate the honesty that you don't think we should have freedom of speech.
That's called liberal dork today. All right, nice.
I love the idea that freedom of speech is the freedom to tell me that I'm right all the time. That's what
it gets better.
Here's Ron saying, I feel bad for all those 120 year olds who will lose their Social Security. Again, another common talking point by the right, that there are all these people who are getting Social Security by claiming to be 120 or 150 years old. No, there's not. It's been knocked down. Please stop just getting spoon-fed these lines from right-wing media.
Pat, if they stop saying it, they have nothing else to say, because all they do is speak in false platitudes.
So there you go, Chad. I've teed you off for a few things. Whatever you were going to start just go there instead.
Hey, guys. WSAU's down the street.
clearly, our show's more entertaining if they'd rather play the role of Statler and Waldorf for our show. Yeah. I'm perfectly good with that. Chad Holmes, thank you so much.
Now I'm ready.
I know. See, we got the engines revved and ready to go. Thank you, sir. Greg Bach is back for Matinee on Air in 2 hours, and I'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. with Up North News Radio. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow here up north.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many Democrats wondering, what are our elected officials doing to push back? Representative Mark Pocan joins us. We'll ask. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and... This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News special report. The big chill between the U.S. and Russia is showing signs of thawing out. After a meeting in Saudi Arabia today, Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the U.S. and Russia have agreed to restore staffing at their respective embassies in Washington and Moscow.
The goal of today's meeting was to follow up on the phone call the president had a week ago and begin to establish those lines of communication. The work remains. Today is the first step of a long and difficult journey.
Rubio says they've also agreed to appoint teams to negotiate an end to the war in Ukraine.
The five of us that were here today are going to remain engaged in this process to make sure that it's moving along in a productive way.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky not there. He insists his country will not accept terms if it is not included in negotiations. The State Department says Rubio and Sergei Lavrov did not set a date for a Trump-Putin meeting. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.